The RPG After Years is part of the We Can Make This Work Probably Network. Find out more at probablywork.com.
From Eric Slater, creator of Epic Fails of History, comes a bold new vision of the future in his latest book, 2299. 2299 is a sci-fi noir about a detective on the edge of the abyss. While investigating a cold case on Vanaheim, a space station orbiting Neptune, Desmond Faust finds himself ensnared in a web of lies and murder. The closer he gets to discovering the truth, the more aware he becomes that he might not leave this place alive. Eric Slater's 2299 is available now on Amazon.
Hello and welcome to the RPG Years. Nearly said after. Your one-stop shop for all things JRPGs from the past, present and future. And today, get your big dragons out, people. It's Mighty Morphin Dragon time. Hello everybody and welcome to the RPG Years. And yep, my name's Bill, I am your host for today, and if this is the first time you've listened, you're in the middle of a club. Okay, what's the club? I'm the club. No, the club is the Breath of Fire Free Book Club for JRPGs. Yes, hello everybody and how are you all? I hope you're all doing well on this fine, I don't know, weather's been kind of like inconsistent, but bloody hell, Europe is hot at the moment. Hotter than hot itself, you know, and we haven't even got to the desert in Breath of Fire 3. Yes, I know the desert is a thing. It's coming, people, it's coming. Yes, I will get to Breath of Fire 3. I'm not, you know, we're going to have a short episode today because I'm a little bit strapped for time. Work's been particularly busy this week, so I'm going to skip over the news, but I am going to have a little catch up with you all. Bing, bang, bong. Yes, so spoilers, people. I have finished Angel Tower, as you've guessed by this episode being finished Angel Tower. So yeah, I have got that far into the game. I've also been playing Final Fantasy 16. I've managed to have two whole enjoyable sessions on that. And yep, I have to say, I finished the fight with Garuda, and then I weirdly woke up naked and chained in Sid's basement, and then he let me go and gave me all my clothes back. Like, dude, I was passed out in the field, and now you've tied me up in your dungeon, and I'm naked? Like Sid? Sid, man? What happened while I was passed out? I was wearing my clothes. Like, I get it. You could, like, you know, maybe undress me and clean me up a bit, because I had been in a big, giant fight with a huge fucking icon. But, especially Garuda, who just spent most of the time bent over so I could attack her... her bottom region while it was in my face. I text my mate about that. I was just like, why is, you know, Gruda's a big flying thing, right? You know, Master of the Wind. It's sitting on this tiny platform on all fours so I can run between its legs and cut it in its private parts. Yeah, this is a strange old fight. But yeah, that fight got absolutely epic. So, yeah, just one of those things. It's really, really good, though. I'm really, really enjoying Final Fantasy 16. I just can't find the time to play it. Hopefully, tomorrow is going to be Tuesday. I'll be sitting down, and I'll be playing that. And I'm really looking forward to it. Okay? What else have I been playing?
I need a saga.
Seventh saga. I had to... I can't even remember if I did this last time, you guys. I definitely haven't played it for a week, because I've been catching up on other things. But last time I played, I had to... I had to redo a bit of the game I'd already done. So when I've spoke to you before, I know I'd said I'd already got Asuna as my second character. You know, you can only have two characters in the game. But yeah, unfortunately, that I opened up my save and I didn't have Asuna in my team. She wasn't there. I had to re-recruit her. And this time she took twice as long to bloody recruit. Like, the reason I recruited Asuna is because the guy, Vasilu, whatever his name was, who I wanted to recruit, wasn't in the town. I was just like, I just want to get two people on my team, make this a bit easier on myself. And so I thought, yeah, Asuna's quite similar to Vasilu, so I'll recruit her. And yeah, she was gone. Absolutely gone. So I had to go out, grind, go back in, talk to her. Eventually, I just started doing it after each battle. And I think that kind of worked for me in the end with the randomness, because it's like a 20% chance. She eventually got back on my team, but I was like two levels higher than the first time I did it. But yeah, anyway, Asuna's back on my team, and then the walk to the next town. Again, the first time I played it, I got slaughtered. I like limped into that place with like legs hanging off and everything. I got absolutely battered. And this time, I walked all the way there and I got into two fights. The fights on this are great. Actually, it kind of reminds me. Now, don't get me wrong here, I know it's a saga. What's the saga? I need a saga. But it really reminds me of Saga, Romancing Saga. Because in Romancing Saga, like, the enemies are on the screen and moving around. And that's the same in the Seventh Saga, except you've just got a radar, so you can see the dots. And it's, you know, you kind of get that same feel of, like, do I want to battle things or do I want to move around them? Yeah, really, really good game. But I'm, yeah, really, really enjoying that. And I've got the first rune as well. So I've cost myself 10 fantastic US dollars. That's going to go to charity by getting the first rune. But yeah, if you're wondering what I'm bloody talking about, it's the 700 Saga Challenge. So our Materia Lockdown was a bust this year. Thank you, Elon Musk, for breaking the Twitter bot. So me and Frost decided we're going to try and raise $700 for motor neurone disease by playing the 7th Saga. Everyone who's playing along with us on our Discord, so you've got to come join the Discord, links below. Everyone playing along with us on Discord can join in with this, and in everyone on the Discord who manages to get the first rune will donate $10. If you complete the game, we'll donate $70, and then we've just got a cap of $700. And that's just me and Frost are paying that out of our own pocket, okay? Not you guys. You guys don't have to pay. But there is also a link in the description below to a Just Giving page for the Motor Neurone Disease Association, which is something close to my heart because my mother sadly passed away from motor neurone disease, and the MDMA were absolutely amazing. So if you do want to donate anything, feel free to do so, but no pressure, okay? But yeah, 700 Saga, I've now cost myself $10. And then Tales of Vesperia. Oh, this game's been itching at me. I keep seeing, like, Frost keeps doing little small updates and someone else started playing it the other day, and I'm just like, oh, man. It's been itching at me. So it's currently my enjoyment game back on, Tales of Vesperia. I've got my Switch, and I'm currently lost in a desert. I feel like this is going to be my future in Breath of Fire 3 as well. But, yes, currently... I walked through some mountains and stuff, caught up on the story, and yeah, got lost in a desert. Couldn't figure out where I was supposed to go. I've looked it up. Apparently, I'm supposed to sort of like vaguely go into the top right hand corner. This reminds me of the bloody woods, Fey Woods in FF12. It's like, if you know the way, it's easy. If you don't, you're getting turned around in circles, people. But yeah, really enjoying Tales of Vesperia. Yuri Lowell is probably one of the best characters in a JRPG I've ever played in my life. He is absolutely fantastic, and just the whole cast, really. I really feel for each and every individual character, and every time I open it up, it's like watching an old episode of Friends. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, oh, what are these crazy lot up to? And you get your little encounters. You push the line button on the Switch. It looks like a negative, no plus and negative buttons. You push the negative button on the Switch, and you go into these little like skip things between all the characters, and it really builds up that love for them. And yeah, fantastic little game. Can't wait to carry on playing that. And that's about it. Okay, other than that, it's all been Breath of Fire 3. So let's get into the club, shall we, people? It's club time.
Welcome to the VIP lounge. You gotta be level 99 to get in here, baby.
It's
No underloads. Scrubs. So why don't you go ahead and order yourself one of our finest elixirs and one of our beautiful bunny girls will show you to your table. Kick back, relax. It's time for the RPG Club.
Come into the club. Get me some bud. Something else. Cheese in my head. Yes, so as you may remember, we left off at Castle Windia. Just after leaving Castle Windia, of course. Baelio and Sunder are long forgotten, pain in my ass that I will try to forget for as long as I can remember that I have to forget about them. That's a weird concept, isn't it? How long do I have to forget about something I have to forget about? Anyway, Gar says, you know, there's a good chance that Ryu might die if he goes to Angel Tower with him. And yeah, there is a good chance of that. Gar is not wrong. But we'll get to that in a bit. So Nina decides she's going to come along with you, although in order, because apparently Gar reckons Ryu kind of goes dragony to sort of help himself out in order to try and protect Nina. So he's seeing the connection between Ryu and Nina, which, quite frankly, I'm not. It's just like, you know, it just seems like two people who have just haplessly ended up sort of running away from two weird horse creatures together. But Gar seems to think there's a bit more going on between the two of them. Ah, whatever. But Nina says she's going to come along. She's going to get stronger in order to come with us. And then this is where we hit our first roadblock, is that obviously the people at the gates where we get the passport, which we got from Nina's dad, the king, go, aren't you Princess Nina? And Gar goes, no, she's my kid. And they're like, is she? He's like, calling me a liar. It's just like, no, Gar, go for it. Why do we need a passport? Gar could just intimidate every single person in existence to get in where he needs to go. Absolutely brilliant. I love Gar to bits, you know. Oh, Gar, isn't he great? He's the best. Oh, hopefully that's not going to change. But yes, and in case you're, you know, you get through there and then that gets you into the new area of Ralphina. Yes, I'm learning these little areas, these little niches in the game. And yeah, I managed to go to, because I decided at this point I was in a rush, I used a guide. So I managed to find the Thunder Gene easily. Yeah, it was, there's like a little house on one of the beaches that you can go to, and there's the Thunder Gene, so you can now transform into Thunder Dragons. And then essentially starts the back and forth of the Love Triangle. Oh yes, the Love Triangle. We're trying to get through to the next region, which is where Angel Tower is, but it's blocked off because on one side, a volcano has erupted and like destroyed this path around the mountain. Okay, so we go to this town where there's a port and there's supposed to be a ship that can take us. But apparently the ship hasn't come back because the lighthouse has been turned off and is infested with monsters. And there's a guild who not only run the road, but also the mountains, a path and the ships. So this guild's pretty much got a monopoly on this. I kind of like, the game doesn't sort of portray it this way, but this guild is like evil as sin. Now you've got these towns by the balls and nothing can go trade wise without them. And it's just like, and then, you know, on the other side is Castle Windia. And if you want to trade with Windia, you have to deal with the king. So it's just like, yeah, this entire region is like locked under the power of this guild. So this guild seems like they could be a very evil source. Anyway, we go to the port and we see this guy flexing. Really big muscles, like me. Callus Fenix is really paying off. No, I'm not quite as big as this guy. Definitely not. I could do cool handstands, though. You know, get in there. I could do a handstand for about 3 seconds. Chef kiss. But yeah, this guy is flexing and he's saying, like, I'm going to get... Is it Zig? I can't remember the name. No, it's Beard... Bide is the guy who's the weak, who's like the wimp, isn't he? Zig is the big guy. And Shardis, that's the name. I was trying to remember the name. And he's trying to impress Shardis. And we're kind of like, well, we're stuck here, aren't we? And so Nina comes up with this plan of like, obviously Bide is in love with Shardis, but Zig's trying to get Shardis' attention because he's huge. Shardis just seems to be ignoring everyone because, you know, she's like, fuck. My guild was like the most important thing around here, and now all her pathways are cut off. No one can go into this lighthouse and destroy these monsters. So Even Gar says, well, we've got nothing better to do. So we decided to go along with Nina's plan of trying to get Bide and Shardis together. And so we go talk to Shard, and Nina, blunt as hell, goes, hey, you're in love with Shardis, aren't you? Let's not talk about this, Randy. Let's go talk somewhere else, little child. And I was a bit like, I need an adult. Gar's like, I'm an adult. Sorry, Dragon Ball Z reference there. Well, that's tickled. I tickled myself. So anyway, we get into this fun little mini game, right, where we have to train Bide. Bide. I'm going to call him Bide. He gives us 100 zenny to buy him some equipment, but I just give him Ryu's sword and shield. No, sword. Yeah, you can only give him a sword and you can give him some armor. So I give him Ryu's sword and armor because I just bought him the best stuff when I arrived in town. And then when I was looking at the guide, it says like, hey, all the stuff, the stats of your actual sword and whatever you give him will improve depending on how much you beef him up. I couldn't be bothered to do too much of this, so I did 3 rounds, okay? The first round, I killed him after 2 rounds. I didn't mean to. I was just sort of testing the waters with how strong he is, and yeah, he lasted way longer than I expected. No, way less longer than I expected. He shot down very, very quickly. So the second time round, I managed to sort of, you know, I had Momo on healing duty. She was always healing him up to keep him nice and fresh. Meanwhile, Nina and Ryu worked on hitting him and getting hit. So the second round, I managed to get him all the way around to the last 2 rounds, all right? There's 20 rounds that you have to fight him for. And I got him down to the last 2 before I accidentally killed him. Just trying to keep him alive hard enough. And then the third round, got him all the way down, and I decided for the last round, I was going to kill him. Yeah, I was just like, fuck you. I'm going to hit you with everything I've got. And yeah, it was enough to beef him up. Now, I kind of liked the idea with the fight that he has with Zig to prove how strong he is. That you can't get involved, but Zig will waste a go waving at Shardis, and when he is, you can then like debuff him or buff Bide, and it's really like, I liked that little mechanic. It really made it like a little bit more worth it and kind of fun, considering like the 3 fights I've done beforehand were a bit dull, because it's just like, you know, no one wants to play a game where you have to keep the enemy alive. So yeah, so it was just a bit of fun knocking him down, and then Shardis and Zig kind of agree to work together. Shardis and Bide agree to sort of work together. They don't ever sort of say, you know, we're in love with each other and we're going to do it. You know, that connection seems quite clear compared to like the friendship between Ryu and Nina. But yeah, they go for it and they say that that's a thing. So they're going to work together to make the guild as good as possible. And he gives you the guild badge, which will grant you access to the lighthouse to defeat the dungeon. So this was kind of, again, I'm not having really any problems. These dungeons are really short and sweet. I'm not having any issues with them at all. People keep complaining about them on the Discord, and I'm wondering if they're kind of complaining about dungeons in the future, because I'm a little bit behind, as you can tell. But yeah, it's just like, going into the lighthouse was kind of cool. I like the fact that it was like loads of weird little steps outside in order to get inside. And then once you were all the way inside, you could go down. You had to go down in order to restart like the engine to get it going. Because I went up to the top first of all, you know, and there was a gene up there, wasn't there? Was it the miracle gene or was it the reverse gene? No, we've already got the reverse gene. The Eldritch gene. Sorry, I had to look that up. whatever that does. It's like, it gives you a dragon access to healing spells, which is pretty cool. So yeah, went all the way down to the bottom, and I did the little mini game with putting fire ammo from Momo into the machine to start it up. There was this like little graphic that appears, like a little radar thing. Little thing going up and down. When it hits the top and it's in perfectly in the middle, you have to push the button in order to light it. I did it first time. Really, really proud of myself. I was just like, when I was first looking at it on my official PlayStation 1 hardware, my screen was a little bit small. So I turned it sideways where the screen goes a bit bigger. I could see it really clearly. And I watched it go around about 3 or 4 times. I was just like, okay, I can see the rhythm of it now. I was just like, da, 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 here. Boom, first time. No rewards for doing it first time, other than just being real, real smug git. Yeah, I like being a smug git. Anyway, once you've done that, you can work your way back upstairs to the top. You have to flick a few switches to get the electricity going in the right direction to go up to the light bulb. And then you get attacked. Well, you find this little like dead lizard thing on the floor. And then as you move on from it, this gigantic eye, like multi-eyeball thing comes down and jumps on top of it to complete it, and this is the Gazer boss. This guy was quite tough, actually. He managed to kill Momo and Nino, and I just, like, spammed attacks with Ryu to try and take him down. He kind of used Hypnotize, which would confuse me a lot. It was really, really annoying. But anyway, after killing him, you manage to go upstairs, and you can turn on the light switch, and then this angry fairy turns up, goes, no, 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 turn it off. She hits the button, or hits the control panel to try and turn it off, and it breaks. So the light bulb is now just stuck on. That's it. It's stuck. It's stuck on. Can't do anything about it now. Well done, fairy. She's like, oh, I'm so angry with you. Here's a fairy tiara. Come visit us when you get a chance. She's like, okay. You go visit them, and you find out they're actually being terrorized by an Australian dolphin. Yep. An Australian dolphin. Now, I did actually go around and do a few little side quests here. I'm really struggling. Well, I was really struggling with the master system. Because I've got these masters, I've leveled up a few times, and I went back to talk to them, and nothing happened. And then I sort of left it for a bit, and then I managed to get a new master. Is it Mary Leap? The one that's in the pond, and you have to kick it in with Pico, which is a little bit of fun. But yeah, eventually, I can't remember when I figured this out. I think it was later on, but definitely before I moved on to the next segment of the game. Because you can't come back. Well, you can. You have to go through a dungeon. So it's not happening, is it, people? And I managed to learn, I think, one skill from Bunyan. Because I didn't realise that I had to change my character that I was leading with to speak to Bunyan to make sure he was master to him to get it back. And I think I got one from the drunk guy, Thal, for Gar as well. But I was just like, oh, this is such a pain. Why do you have to come all the way back to talk to these people to get the ability? Really, really annoying. Anyway, so yeah, I've got two abilities and pretty much just not utilising the Master System at all. It's just like, it's flying past me in this game. Really flying past me. But yeah, you can go to the little flower rings, which I had spotted before on the world map. And now that we've got the fairy tiara, we can go into the fairyland, which I believe is going to open up a big side quest later where you can like build a fairy village. And I remember that from Breath of Fire 4, and I loved it. So if the fishing game in this is anything to go by, I'm probably going to get obsessed with it. But yeah, we encounter this dolphin who's basically terrorizing these fairies to keep the light off because the light stops him from sleeping. And this is a really funny scene where he sort of has a go at you. And like, it wasn't confusing at all, the language. I kind of really, like, there was a lot of slang in there, but I recognized it all, so I read it fine. Then he came up with a little prompt saying, by the way, this is all in Australian. If you didn't understand it with like an English translation, please click yes. So I clicked yes, and then it just replayed the scene, but just took all the slang out. I was like, oh, he's an Australian dolphin. Or mecha dolphin, because he turns into this big mechanical one. Because you kind of have this weird thing where he makes you feel bad, half you walk off, then he has a go at Ryu and then starts squirting water at him. And then the fairies come down and go, yeah, that's the one. And then he starts saying, yeah, all of you, turn that light off or I'll kill you or something. So we have to fight him. And yeah, and he was quite easy. I just took him down with the Thunder Dragon. Really, really easy. So after that, you know, the fairies are happy, and then that kind of unlocks the letter for later. We talk to a few other people in town to eventually get the Guild's Master's letter, and then that allows us to go through a secret path through Mount Zublu. Zublu, Zublu, Zublu. So, yes, speaking of time skips, I may have skipped a day. Anyway, one day later, I'm now in Mount Zublu. That was right, that's where I left you. So, you go out and check out the big closed door thing that's in Mount Zublu, and depending on which character you have at the front, they will give you different responses, but Ryu kind of gives you the impression that he vaguely understands it or recognises the language, you know, giving a bit more sort of suspicion to what's going on here. But yeah, this was quite a cool little dungeon. I like this one. So it was very short. Again, all the dungeons are really short. They're only like two or three screens. It's really not proving that taxing yet. I'm assuming this is going to get a lot more difficult as we move forward with the game. But for now, not too much of a problem. And this, I really like this one because there's some really cool enemies in here. Let's talk about things. So there's obviously the vents coming out the ground. I avoided those. And then there's some yellow vents that come out of the walls at the points, which cause confusion. And I low-key love it when a game has a battle condition like confusion. And if you get it on the field map, your character, like, it screws up your controls. So your character start walking backwards, left and right. And like, you think to yourself, oh, I'll just move in the other direction. And it's way harder than you think it is. But I like it when games do that so that, you know, you're confused in battle, you're confused after battle, things like that. I really like it. But yeah, I managed to only get inflicted with this annoying confusion only the once. And then obviously it's got lava floors. And this game is really good with its lava floors. It absolutely batters your HP. But it will never kill you. It will always take you down to one HP and only the lead character. And more importantly, you don't get into battles while you're on the fire. So they kind of balance this out really well. So you've got to make sure that you heal up just before you get off if you go for some any long stretches. And there was two. There was like one, I got some sort of item and also a new dragon gene. I'm not sure what the gene was. Oh, the miracle gene, that's what I said earlier, which allows Ryu to assume an enormous form when he turns into dragon, which I didn't realise. I haven't actually done that yet, but I'll play around with that in the future. But yes, there's also a few other things in here, like the asbestos armour. I wouldn't want to wear that, to be honest with you. What a terrible name. But yeah, but it basically nullifies fire damage, which is going to be very helpful, and the fire ring as well, which means I can absorb fire damage. And yeah, I kind of had my hopes pinned that this would be more useful than the fire ring, than the ice ring that I grinded out earlier in the game. And yes, it was way more useful. I stuck it on Ryu and he absorbed so much damage during this game, during this dungeon. And I gave the asbestos armor to Gar, who's basically just an impenetrable fire monster at this point. But yeah, you get the head through and then suddenly this weird, creepy old man just comes out of nowhere. And throw some like weird stuff at you, like, I'm not going to let you get to Angel Tower, boy. I'm not going to let you get there, boy. He's just like, it is absolutely insane. And then he brings these like two, almost looks dragon-esque, but they're like these huge two lava worms come out of the ground and you have to fight them. And it was an interesting one. I straight away noticed that Gishan. Is it Gishan? Gishan? Yeah, Gishan, the rather dirty old man. He's like dribbling and drawling in his animation during battle. I absolutely loved it. But yeah, he's sitting there, he's resting on his stick, and he constantly heals the two fire creatures either side and starts casting things like sleep on the team. So my first thought was, I'm going to take him down. Obviously, this is a fire dungeon. These are two big fire monsters. I turned Ryu into a big ice dragon. No, little ice dragon. Because, yeah, I kind of find with the ice dragon, with Ryu, I find his smaller forms still do the same amount of damage as the bigger forms, but you use less AP to start them, so it was kind of better off having like that. And, you know, I've got Gar out front, he's got his asbestos armor, so he's not taking a lot of hits. Nina died quite quickly, I will say. You know, I was using her and I was trying to cast ice magic on all these things, and it was doing a decent amount of damage, but nowhere near as much as the frost claw attack. That was doing like 120, 140 damage. And then Gar, if Gar got a critical hit, he was doing 100 plus. He's absolutely magnificent. So yeah, I focused on Gishan, took him down, and then eventually the fire creatures did manage to take Gar down, but I had enough left in Ryu to, I ran out of AP with Ryu. He turned back into his normal child self, and yeah, I had enough in me to just sort of like knock them down into the ground and win the battle, and then move on from Mount Zubaloo. And this time we go into the new area, which I think is just called the Eastern Lands, you know, or the Orkan region. Did I do a good job with that word? Orkan. So yeah, I immediately saw Junktown, and I remember I'd read about Junktown and been able to get some great stuff here. And I've got no idea if there's some sort of weird mini game. There was a part of the town I couldn't even get to. And yeah, the weapons here were pretty good, to be honest with you. But bloody expensive. like really expensive. The only one I could afford was the super spear for Gar. And yeah, I just did it. I was like, well, I could go out and grind, you know, another $4,000 to get whatever it is for Ryu, but because I, you know, JRPGs, I always try and focus on the lead character, as it were, because you never know when other characters are going to bugger in and out of the game. So, but given the fact that I could only afford either the shotgun for Momo or the spear for Gar, I just went, Gar, you're always in my team, Gar. So that was my tactic there. But yeah, not a lot of other stuff in Junktown, really. And then I went to Orkan Tepe, which seems to be Gar's hometown, but not. Everyone keeps calling him a guardian. And then we get this really cryptic thing. Oh, also, it took me a little while to figure out. It's really annoying the fact that the game doesn't let you switch to Gar because his sprite is so big. So if there isn't enough room to switch to Gar, then you can't switch to him. And he's so slow and cumbersome, and it's difficult to get round people when they're on the bloody map or sitting down on their knees praying to whoever the bloody priestess in this place. It's just like, what is going on here? But yeah, you get some cool kind of like little hints about Gar being some sort of guardian for these people, like being a messenger from God or something. And even when you go speak to the leader, like the chieftain of this person, he says that, you know, have you achieved what you wanted to achieve, Gar? Can you go back to sleep now? It's just like, well, what? Where did Gar wake up from? And he says, like, is there no more evil left in the land? And Gar says, yes. He's like, okay, maybe you can go back then. Well done, Gar. It's just like, what is going on? But yeah, it took me a while to sort of even just, because it's so much quicker running around with Ryu at the lead compared to Gar. And then having to try and switch to Gar so you can move that big rock out of the way. And it's like, also, how are they feeding this guy if there's that huge rock in the way? It's just like, is he just sitting there slowly starving to death until Gar comes along? Oh, Gar, thank God you're here. You've been gone for ages, man. but yes, he gives you permission to enter Angel Tower. And yeah, funny enough, I hadn't bothered to go to Angel Tower yet, so I didn't know I couldn't enter it. But yeah, good old Guardian Gar. He gives us as we exit the town, we go straight into a camping scene. And Guardian Gar, I love that, Guardian Gar tells us, you know, he's here and he wants to protect his people from harm. And that's what he's here for. So he gives Ryu one last warning about going into the tower, how it's going to, things could possibly upset him. But he also holds back. He doesn't give us some vital information. And so we now enter the Angel Tower. Oh, I forgot to mention about Zublu, Mount Zublu. There was the Vulcan creatures. I believe there's something you could do with the lava men as well to make them give you loads of EXP. But yeah, the lava creatures were great. The big, you know, the big huge rocks that you encountered. Because I could kill them in two ice moves and an attack. So what you do is you do two ice moves, gets their health right down. You cast a fire move on them. They become active. And then when you take them down, which you've got to do quick, they give you 300 EXP. Now, I didn't spend any time sort of, you know, grinding out levels or anything because I just couldn't be bothered. But just really, really like tons of EXP from these things. And I got into like three battles with two of them on my way through. I was just like, oh, this is great. Because yeah, if you can kind of grind them down or just run away from the fights. But if you grind them down, they don't give you the same amount of EXP unless you use fire on them and activate them. So yeah, got a lot of EXP from those things. That was really buffed me up for this bit. So yeah, who knew that Momo could blow through walls? Yeah, you know, I'm just giving back to Angel Tower now. Yeah, who knew? I didn't, you know. I do now. So yeah, apparently Momo's special ability where she shoots that gun thing is so that she can smash broken walls. Yeah, so I managed to get a wisdom seed and some ivory dice, which I don't really know what ivory dice do, but they seem to be quite a rare item to pick up. So yeah, answers on a postcard, people. Tell me what ivory dice do, please. Yeah, another fun little dungeon, mostly centered around Gar and him moving things around. So you can move things around to get, I think it was a mithril helm, was that you could pick up if you moved the block into the right place, so you could walk over this little gap. And then you had to go downstairs and move a bunch of blocks together so that you can go to the final thing. I did once smash a block into a wall by accident and it smashed the pieces, so I had to come out and reset. But otherwise, really simple little puzzle, you know, just move one block out, move it up. Go around, push the other block in, push it down, move around. You know, just you had to do three runs around the thing to get them into the right place. Really nice, easy one. But then you go downstairs and Garl sent Momo away, told her to fuck off. Just me and the boy. Like, I need an adult. Oh, man. I can hear the fans of Dragon Ball Z laughing in the background. And everyone else going, what is wrong with Bill? And yeah, so Gar takes him round, and there's these basically scorecards, like engraved scorecards of different guardians with numbers on it. Turns out Gar is part of a bunch of guardians who wiped out the Brood race, which was Ryu's race. And Gar tells us that apparently, you know, the Brood were trying to take over the world brutally or something, and him and his fellow guardians were the ones who God sent to Earth, I believe, in that kind of wording, that they sent him to Earth to wipe out the Brood, and there's like the spirits of the dragons are all flying around this place, and this is where all the huge bones are. And Gar kind of says, like, you know, my purpose in life is to eliminate the Brood, and you are the last of the Brood. So he basically challenges you to a one-on-one fight. And yeah, you know, obviously I turn into a big ice dragon. Gar, you're a flame motherfucker. I'm going to take you down. I've got a fire ring on, man. All your attacks are going to heal me. Yeah, so I managed to beat him down fairly quick, poor old Gar. And this was so cool. I absolutely loved this bit. So he's like, oh, you've beaten me. You've got to finish me off. And then Ryu's like, no, I'm not going to finish you off. And then he hears this voice in his head, and it kind of sends Ryu slightly mad, and he puts his hands on his head, ringing in his ears, and then he turns into this enormous, beautiful-looking Kaiser dragon. And we only know it's a Kaiser dragon because Gar says, are you a Kaiser dragon? And then Ryu just takes off, and Angel Tower starts to fall to pieces, and that's it. You know, Ryu hears a voice saying, don't attack Gar. He just goes crazy and flies off. And yeah, brilliant, absolutely brilliant. It's just like, what on earth is going on here, man? this is going places now, the story. Gar is a guardian. He's wiped out Ryu's race. Like, is Gar immortal? Like, God exists and sent Gar to wipe these things out? And now Gar's questioning it. And I say that because, you know, obviously this was to play up until we finished Angel Tower. But the very next scene was Ryu running around the mines again, where we started the game, as a dragon whelp. And then Gar is suddenly chasing him. And then Gar stabs you, and then you turn back into adult Ryu. Or, you know, teenage Ryu, shall we say. And, yeah, you know, there isn't really any changes in Ryu, but Gar is, like, he's been searching for Ryu ever since the incident. And Ryu has apparently just been gone mad and just been running around the Dureon Mountain. What is it? Dureon, is it? Daruna Mines, where he started, just as a dragon whelp, just going absolutely crazy. And Gar was like, I heard rumours of a dragon here, so I came looking for you, Ryu. And he's just like, Ryu, I'm in your debt. I've got no idea why you didn't try to kill me in that moment. And even when I was slaughtering your family, sorry, not your family, your people, your brood, they never really fought back. I just slaughtered them down and never really thought about what was going on. And so he's like, I've got a few questions for God, and I'm in your debt. So do you mind if I come along with you, and then you can kill me if you feel like it? She's like, fuck hell, man. I don't want to walk around these mines on my own. Come with me, Gar. Protect me, man. I need an adult. Yeah, so that brings an end to this segment of Breath of Fire 3. And yeah, I'm really enjoying the game at this point. Obviously, we've just had a huge time skip where we've lost our entire party. So I assume now we've got to get the old band back together. Got to go around and find everyone. Still don't know where Catboy and, I want to say Pico. No, Pico. Pico? Yeah, Pico. Yeah, Pico. Pico was the little purple-haired boy, wasn't he, at the beginning? Yeah, we still don't know what's happened to them. Nina's probably gone back to being a princess. We'll have to go find her. And there's stuff about Nina, which obviously still needs to be talked about in the game, because I know Breath of Fire games. I know who Nina is, and Nina hasn't shown herself yet. And Momo, you know, we've got to go back to Momo's place and make sure that her dad's magazines collection's okay, you know. You know, yeah, good. And then, And then, yes, find out Pico. Good old Pico. He's probably still being Nina. But yeah, we've got to make sure that we sort all that stuff out. Let's move on, shall we? Let's move on to the feedback. Yeah, not that type of feedback. Oh, I'm such a bastard git, aren't I? Off to the new days, mist, I run. Off to the new days, mist, I have gone. We share ship in the air. Feedback. First up, good old boy Caslo. Let's hear what Caslo has to say about this segment, shall we?
The section was actually pretty annoying, but it's primarily because of two minigames at the beginning of the section. First, the Bade trading sequence takes entirely too long, even when you're constantly healing him, so he takes more damage to get more health. Then, even with a good amount of training, he still struggles against Zig. The second minigame is the Lighthouse Furnace minigame. The game doesn't explain it very well, and you have to replace the furnace's fuel after every failure. It's nice that they give you 3 pieces in the dungeon, but if you don't complete it from that, you have to return to town and buy more. Luckily, it only took me a couple of tries, but it was still annoying. Finally, I struggled a lot with Gishen, who gave me my first real game over. Luckily, the volcano is a really great place to level up, especially if you're abusing inoculations. But with that said, it's great to finally be done with the child section, and it was totally fitting that it ended with Gar's backstab, because backstabs is all child Ryu has known.
Winter Disa, love winter. Finally made it. This game enjoys being annoying for the sake of it. Banana random encounters. Can't change the party through menu. Oh, you can, as long as you're on the world map. Blocks crushed if you push them in the wrong spot. Yep. Decreasing HP. Oh. For context, Disa was wondering why their HP just kept, like, their maximum HP kept lower and lower and was in the yellow. And so we told her, if they die, when you bring them back to life, their HP doesn't restore to full unless you go back to a town and sleep in an inn. Camping is not enough. And she was like, oh, man. All of the characters were getting really low on health and, like, they couldn't restore them at all. Anyway, the list goes on. So far, I'm not too far of the fan of the graphics and music either. Yeah, music's not really appealing to me, I'll be honest. But the story is good, and the end of Angel Tower was great. I'm having moments of fun, even though the game is actively trying to hinder my enjoyment. Thank you, Disa. Great feedback. Skelly of Skeleton Hylix says, the Bayard part of the and the lighthouse sucked. Why? No, I don't understand. Especially because the culmination of, oh, that didn't actually help. Yeah, I suppose so. But I like the volcano and Angel Tower. And the weird fucking dolphin scene was great. Yeah, the Australian dolphins are something to behold. Love the Gar reveal and into the time skip as well. Still very much enjoying the game. And here we go, we've got some audio feedback from Calderanus.
Hello, Calderanus here. This section started out pretty rough. The training minigame needed better feedback as to what you actually needed to do. I ended up making Bade far more powerful than I needed to, and he won his fight in 3 turns and took only 3 damage. I didn't even need to help. It was ridiculous. The lighthouse kind of sucks as a dungeon, since narratively it doesn't really accomplish anything, and it has these really annoying enemies that drain your AP. The volcano kind of sucked for me because I had just switched Momo and Nina's master to Yggdrasil, which apparently gives them a weakness to fire, so that made things harder than they needed to be. Gar's reveal at the end of Angel Tower was surprising, not for the fact that he betrays Ryu, because everyone does that, but for the fact that he waited so long to do it. It's nice to not be backstabbed immediately the second you put your trust into someone, but Ryu really should stop trusting people at this point.
Thank you very much, my friend. Appreciate the audio feedback from everyone. It's great. Marn says, the kid years are probably my least favourite part of Breath of Fire 3. But it ends up being such a perfect sum-up going into the second half. I just wish the game had more quality of life improvements than modern games, like being able to teleport out of a dungeon. You can buy an item for that, can't you? I'm sure I've had an item for teleporting out of dungeons. Anyway, dungeons are tiny. I like being able to teleport out of a dungeon. A lighthouse zipline back to Reef Raffina would have been sweet, but instead I have to do the Walk of Shame because I have no AP left. Yeah, fair enough. And then Jay of Fire 3 comes in with some more audio feedback as well.
JS here with my thoughts on the third RPG Club segment for Breath of Fire 3. After the crisis of confidence I had last segment on whether or not I had it in me to stick with this game, I'm happy to report that I'm really liking where this is at the midway point of the club. This segment ends on a high point for the story and has me disappointed that I finished the segment with 4 days to go before the next segment starts. I know others on this Discord weren't fans of the training sequence in Rafala, but I actually enjoyed it. I probably only spent 20 minutes training Bade and got him jacked up enough that he wiped the floor with Zig without me needing to interfere. Towards the end of the training, he was beating up my A-team pretty well, which consisted of Ryu, Piku, and Gar, aka Team Hit It Until It Dies. The dungeons in this section were nowhere near as frustrating as Momo's Tower, though the boss in the volcano took a few tries. That sleep spell that can hit the whole party makes your fate a little too tied to the RNG. The block puzzle in Angel Tower would have been pretty fun, but the encounter rate is too damn high. And by the time you finish a battle, I can barely remember what block I was heading towards and where I needed to push it. One other gripe I've had with the game so far is a lot of the puzzles require you to move in diagonal directions, and movement is only controlled through the D-pad, making this tough, at least with the controller I'm using. I don't know if this was easier on the original PlayStation controllers. I do know that it would be much easier with the left stick. That said, I'm looking forward to what lies ahead for Grown Up Ryu. I feel like I'm already a little bit into this segment because it took me a while wandering around Duana Mines to find the save point so I could stop.
And then finally, Frost, not sure if I'm going to make the cut, but who knows when Bill will actually finish his segment, who knows. I fixed my 4x speed on my Steam Deck and plowed through this segment in a few hours. This made training Bayard tolerable, as apparently this took over an hour. I do use 4x speed, so probably that's why I didn't mind it so much in game time. What a shit mechanic. So far, I'm not a huge fan, except for the cool jazz music on the map screen. Thank you, Frost. Thank you, everybody. And I appreciate all your feedback. Come on, right, let's get into the outro for the show, shall we, people? My lovelies, there has been a change to the schedule for the RPG Club. So, nothing major, and it's not because I'm running really far behind. I'm mostly running far behind because I'm trying to get the Chrono Cross review out with Scott, so that I've actually then caught up on reviews. You know, I could technically do a Final Fantasy III review with Scott, but I'm not sure how I feel. I haven't played it for a long, long old time, Final Fantasy III. When I say free, I mean the NES version. You know, I might have to see if I can smash through the Pixel Remaster at some point, but we'll save that for another day. I've got enough on my bloody plate. Deesa, you bloody playing Trails in the Sky. I'm so desperate to play that game. Oh, I hate watching other people play games. I'm desperate to play. Anyway, so the schedule has changed just because of feedback from the last couple of segments, okay? So, we are supposed to be, next segment of this, which when I release an episode is going to be the get up to free dice. Don't know much else in context, but I know I've got a free someone called Dice, which was due the 9th of July. So that'll be my catch up segment. And then this is where it changes. Before we had Cross the Desert by July 23rd. That has now changed to Reach the Colony. Okay. A lot of feedback on this. This was taking a very long time, this segment. So we split it down. So Reach the Colony by July 23rd, and then Reach Oasis by August 6th, and then finish the game by August 20th. So for those of you eagle-eyed and following along, we have added a segment to this run, okay? Which is a shame. I was hoping to keep this one short, but it's proving these last segments are proving quite chunky monkeys. So, yep, we are pushing those back a little bit. So again, currently, for me, I've got to reach Dyer's and record it quickly, because, again, I don't like to play the next segment until I've recorded the episode, because otherwise everything gets muddled in my brain. So, Reach the Colony for you people, July 23rd. And yet, as I mentioned earlier on the episode, don't forget about the $700 saga. If you are interested in playing the 7th saga and helping raise a bit of money for charity and making Frost pay for it, then come join the Discord, people. Links for the Discord are in the show notes below or on our pinned tweet on Twitter, or you can go to our website, probablywork.com/RPGyears, and there is a link there to our Discord as well. Speaking of probablywork.com, we are a part of that podcasting network. You should check out some of our other shows, such as the Super Switch Club, where we play games from the Switch Online archive library, you know, all the NES games, SNES games. They've now got Sega games on there. And that's a really, really good fun podcast, which I started, but, you know, I don't run it. Eric runs it, as he's doing. And Frost, actually, Frost has become an editor. You know, I keep saying Frost has become a podcaster now, people. Go listen to Super Switch Club. It's great. There's also Podcasters Assemble, which is a similar show to Super Switch Club, but with movies. There's a comic zombie podcast on there if you're into comics. There's also Too Young for This Trek, which is a Star Trek podcast. Us, obviously, we're on that network. Just go check it out. There's loads and loads of great shows on there. And we've got loads of friends of our shows as well, like Skelly and the Skeleton House podcast, Attack on Final Fantasy podcast. Loads of things you can check out through us. You can also contact us via email if you want to leave feedback, which is at rpgafteryears@gmail.com. Again, we haven't changed that because someone's already taken it. And yeah, you can also contact us on Twitter at rpgyears. And you can contact me at Metunica, M-E-T-U-N-N-I-C-A, and all the other good stuff. You know, please rate and review the show on whatever podcasting apps you have. And if you really want to get involved and help the show, please go to patreon.com/RPGyears, where you can sponsor us a buck or two a month just to help keep the lights on at RPG Towers over here. Ah, brilliant stuff. Anyway, people, I hope you're having fun with Breath of Fire 3. I am enjoying it. I feel like I'm enjoying it more than everyone else, but then also everyone else is way ahead of me, so my enjoyment level may be about to drop soon. But yeah, good game. Fun stuff going on. And yeah, I hope you enjoy us with all the other games. Again, I still need to give you all an update on what we're going to be doing with Skies of Arcadia, because we're going to be doing a playthrough of that soon. And everything else, there's so much stuff going on with this show. I really need to keep on top of it. So I'll speak to you all next week, people. Scott will be back. We'll be doing some more Chrono Cross. And I'll follow you up in 2 weeks' time for more RPG Club stuff. I love you all. Enjoy your weeks. I'll see you later. Bye.
This has been a presentation
of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
at Probably Work for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.